When Balls Fall, Chapter 2. The tycooness led her tittering ladies' club into their Edwardian mansion set in a wooded suburb of Massachusetts in a high-end residential district where only the rich and the high and the mighty lived. Giggling and holding wine glasses, slightly drunk, the chattering ladies all went happily giggling among themselves in silly inane matters. Then suddenly, Mrs. Julia, the tycoon's wife and the owner of the mansion, said, "Today, sweethearts, I brought you here to show you a man's proper place. In fact, you will see my husband Conrad now in his proper submissive place under my stirreted heels, as a man should be, under his wife's stilettos." The ladies were all shocked. "Hey girls, have you ever heard of this? The great Mr. Conrad, the steel tycoon, the most successful steel businessman in the century, he lives under..." "Shut up and don't laugh and come in with serious faces and do look very contemptuously and imperiously and very proudly and distantly at my darling male insect and sad boy." Stunned, the ladies followed her into an elegant corner office, which was written there, "Mr. Conrad, do not disturb." She swept in, followed by entourage, into the office. Conrad was working at his laptop, and his male secretary, come office boy, was sitting there. Imperiously, Mrs. Julia pointed to the door and said, "Please give us a minute." "Out." "Yes, ma'am." He squeaked out and ran away, scurried away. She asked one of her friends, "Close the door and lock it." There was an ottoman couch for relaxation behind his office table. Pointing towards that, Julia said, "Conrad, on the couch and expose your balls." Conrad looked up, eyes widened in shocked surprise, because he had never been publicly humiliated by his mistress. And accepting the inevitable, his shoulders drooped and he said, "Yes, Your Majesty." Stood up, unzipped his trousers and lay down on his back on the ottoman couch with his hands forming a triangle under his head. And he brought out what appeared to be a cocked up penis and balls in a cage. Mrs. Julia produced a key and quickly unlocked the device, and keeping the penis still in the steel tube, in the curved steel tube, she unlocked the balls. And from Conrad's own table, picked up a letter opener harshly commanded, boy count. Yes, Your Majesty, my mistress goddess, stuttered the tycoon. Then he slammed the letter opener in a vicious downward sweep onto his export balls and screamed, Mistress Goddess won, Your Majesty, thank you. But the assorted ladies were awed and shocked out of their drunken stupor, then noted she elegantly flicked a second, third and continuing strokes. Much more gently, firmly, with wifely authority, but gently with maternal love. Conrad, or rather locked up Conrad, whose only sexual release was being whipped on his balls by his mistress and sucking her pussy afterwards, kept on intoning in an obedient, docile voice, "2, thank you, Mistress Goddess. 3, thank you, Mistress Goddess. 4, thank you, Mistress Goddess. 5, thank you, Mistress Goddess." What they didn't know was every time the letter opener made contact, the cool steel on his hot or heated flesh, the twang, the pain, the message that went into his masochistic, submissive, hard brain and asshole was, "Your lady owns you. Your mistress goddess is fucking you. Her feminazi-ship is raping your male chauvinistic, male egos. Asshole, you are being sodomized by her ladyship. You are just a surrendered, broken, whipped male chauvinist puppy. And there is nothing you can do about it. Sit back and enjoy the rape." And he was feeling a painful twinge, but slight. But more than that, the sweetness of surrender, the sweetness of defeat, the sweetness of masculine impotence, the sweetness of surrendered manhood, the sweetness of suffering, le petit castration, or the little castration at the hands of his dominatrix, his mistress, his goddess. And all that semen slushing about in his locked up balls are temporarily unlocked. Actually went straight into his system, his muscles, his faculty, his brain, making him into a more predatory monster on the stock exchange, in the steel industry, in all the business. It became sharper. His mind became clearer. All sorts of thoughts went out of his mind. He was focused. He was focused on the pain. He was focused on his mistress, on his goddess, on the pain that she was giving him. He knew that Her Majesty could rape his balls as much as she wanted, and he would only say, "Yes, Your Majesty, Mistress Goddess." Then she indicated he could stop chanting and she would continue in silence. This helped him yogically, because he took deep breath and silently he intoned the magic mantra, "Mistress Goddess owns my balls. Mistress 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 Goddess." By chanting this submissive magical formula, he was channelizing his sexual energy up his kundalini, the supersensuous, paranormal, channel, yogic channel, through his spinal cord, and his entire consciousness was moving out from his lowest point in the prostate gland through the spinal cord, through his navel, through his heart, through his throat, between his eyebrow, right into the 1,000-petal yogic chakra or sahasra. Sahasra chakra in the center of his brain. So we leave the tycoon and the tyconess, dominatrix and slut boy in this second chapter. Thank you.